This episode of DQ Chats brought to you by Drama Queensland. I am Stephanie Tudor, and today I'm joined by Sam Neill, and our wonderful special guests today are from Redleap Theatre. So we are really grateful to have Julie Nolan, who is the Artistic Director of Redleap Theatre, Ella Beecroft, who is an Associate Director of the company. So Julie was the co-director of The Arrival, and Ella was a performer in The Arrival. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. So Redleap Theatre is a New Zealand-based theatre company, and your website describes the company as crossing the forms of physical theatre, imagery and storytelling. You say you believe in playful discovery, the power of imagination and building a strong ensemble of performers. I think that's a really beautiful introduction to your company and the amazing work you do. Can you talk a little bit about the company for people that don't know Redleap and the drive behind the work you create?
Yeah, sure. So we've been operating now as a professional company for about 14 years, and The Arrival was in fact our first ever professional production. So The Arrival in itself was the really defining way that we ended up not just making the work, but I guess the ethos behind it all. So as a company, we're super interested in always trying to keep on top of our vision and values, and that is how we run the company, but it's also very much about how we make the work. So that little phrase, it took a long time to boil that little phrase down to be kind of the breadth of all the things that we do, but now it kind of absolutely sums up how we make the work, basically. So the imagination, the power of the imagination and playing are absolutely key. I mean, it's how we cast our shows. If we're auditioning people, they might have a magnificent CV, but if they're not playful or brave, we won't be able to work with them, because we ask so much of our performers, and that's the ensemble. We ask them to kind of bring everything to the table, and we ask them to work long, long hours, and we ask them problem solve. So all those things, you know, the final product is a product of all those layers of how we believe it's important to make the work. So we kind of believe in those things. We believe in the imagination. We believe in leaving space for the audience to go, oh, I get it deeply in my cells, as opposed to it all being stuck in their heads. So in order to make work that's not stuck in people's heads, we can't be stuck in our heads. We have to be in our bodies. We have to be in motion. We have to be in play. We have to be able to rise to challenges. So, yeah, that's how we work.
Now, interesting that you say, you know, you don't want to be stuck in your heads. You don't want the audience to be stuck in their heads, because the work you create is very open. It's very fluid. You know, you can have an audience member interpret it many different ways. Do you find as a company, Ella, you were a performer in The Arrival, correct? So maybe this is a good question for both of you, but do you find that you have different interpretations of moments because it is kind of open?
I think we always have a strong idea of what each moment means to us and where it's come from. And like the things on stage have often been through such a huge process of they've had this huge kind of background of work that's led to this one little moment or this one image, a million failed attempts, a million things that have worked that have all kind of shaped each moment. And so we always have a strong, I think it's important as a performer to know what something means, to really understand, especially if it's a slightly more visual or abstract work. Like I think if you know deeply what this image is supposed to be saying, it just provides a feeling of safety for the audience so that they can feel safe to interpret it in their own way. But yeah, I think, you know, and also different things will mean different things for different performers as well. I think, you know, everyone brings their own idea of what something is. And it's just so the style of work. What I love about it is that I'll be performing something and I'll be like, oh, this image represents this. And then you'll hear an audience member say, oh, when I saw that, I saw this. And it could be something completely different, but it's always right. Like it always, and it's so wonderful to hear an audience's interpretation of something, especially with something like The Arrival, which is such a universal story of, you know, migration and, you know, like a refugee story and immigration. Like everyone can kind of connect to that in a different way and often a different personal way. And so, you know, anything that the audience sees usually has this kind of wealth of their own personal background, their own family stories behind it, which is always so nice. And I much prefer that than being like, this is what this is. Like, this image is this, and we're going to explain it to you with a whole lot of words. It's nice for the audience to be like, just to, yeah. But I think if we know what it is, it means that there's a confidence in the performance that the audience, I think, like, they know. I think you can watch a show and know in this style and know if the actors don't really know what they're saying on stage, and it makes you be like, what is going on?
But, yes. I like that you said the confidence of the performers, and you guys knowing what that moment is gives the audience the freedom.
Yeah.
That's a really lovely thought. And I guess something as a teacher that I go, oh, that's a really good way to explain that to students. Because sometimes students go, oh, well, it's just up to the audience to decide. And you're like, oh, no, you need to know, otherwise you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, as a director, that's always a massive click into when the work comes together. And sometimes I can stand on the outside and go, oh, well, I know what that is. And I go back to the performers and I suddenly realize they have no idea. So they're deep inside making the work, trying to find what's going on. I can stand outside and be really clear, but it's not till the performers become absolutely crystal clear that the work starts to come together. Mm. And I think it's a really big thing we often teach when we're teaching ourselves, is for students to take that leap to trust themselves. So there's that moment where they might look at a work that's slightly open and abstracted, and they're like, I don't know what that meant. And you just say to them, what do you think it meant? And truly, they're always right. And often they can give us insights, you know, that we didn't even realize that they can see. So there's a big thing about really learning to trust your imagination.
The other important thing I was just going to say about the style, and it's so much about the interaction with the audience, I think, because also in this way, when you're making very visual work and sometimes quite metaphoric and you can know what it means, but you need to kind of work with your audience to see and feel where maybe you need to put a few more clues or a few more kind of anchors for the audience to, again, to feel safe to use their imagination. Because I think if it's too abstract and too, then people feel like, yeah, they kind of close off. So we're always working to find those little moments that the audience can go, oh, I very clearly understand what that is, because that's a very clear image that is universal, or, you know, we need one word here because they need something. And then, so it's just finding the right balance. And I think you can only find that in this kind of work by performing it for an audience and being like, oh, I can now see that this scene is a little bit adrift or unclear, and we just need to put a few more things. And I think the arrival, because we've done it so many, we did it so many times, each time we would refine it. Every time we do the show, still, like, if we did it again, I'm sure we'd refine it some more, because you're always learning from your audience and you're always seeing the little moments that need to be just a little bit more clear, or moments that can be more abstracted because they were too obvious, or, you know.
I find it really interesting from a student perspective that when you're talking about the imagery, because often students just want you to give them the imagery, and when you provide them with the tools to be able to interpret and find that for themselves, it's actually really quite lovely light bulb moments, as I call them, in the drama classroom. So I definitely saw a lot of those moments through teaching Paper Sky and coming up with the arrival, which will be a nice little segue for what we're here to talk about. So we are very excited, and we're here to talk about The Arrival today. And The Arrival has just been announced as a prescribed text for our 2022 external exam for drama. Now, The Arrival, of course, is a beautiful book by Sean Tan. I actually have seen snippets of Sean Tan and The Arrival being taught throughout different classes in schools before, so I'm sure that people will know the text. But for someone who hasn't read the book and knows nothing about the story, how would you describe it?
It's actually a very simple traveler's story in many ways. The story itself is actually very simple. A man leaves his wife and daughter in a troubled land and travels across a vast ocean to find a better life for his family. Along the way, he encounters new friends, strange creatures, and baffling architecture. And he has to find his way in this new world to build a life, to invite his family to join him. So that's actually the simplicity of the story. And then the complexity is in the telling of it, because it's a graphic novel. It's all expressed through illustration. Our job was to bring those illustration into 3D. And because Sean Tan had done the most incredible job of that, of the drawing of it, incredible drawing of it, we just had to try and lift it off the page as closely as we could, and then imbue it with a bit of spirit to tell the story. Mm. So that within that story, there's lots and lots of beautiful imagery and metaphor and spaciousness to explore. And, you know, the metaphor of everything being foreign is just imbued throughout every moment of the story.
Yeah, there's a lovely idea throughout picture books that we have these familiar moments or these familiar things that we can kind of see, but it's all a little bit strange. How did you capture that, or how did you transfer that kind of familiar made strange on stage in both the set design, in the performance, the ensemble work?
I think a lot of it came through the inability to use language. So we weren't gifted the simplicity of explaining anything. We had to find the way to express it visually. Mm. So that was also foreign territory. And then part, you know, for us as makers, so of course the layers of the work come through how we make the work as well. So creating a new language, we basically created a new language that we then had to learn. And the way we did it was we put the alphabet out and then we just changed letters around randomly. Absolutely randomly. We did it all together. We're in a big shed all having a big laugh about it. And then we just put a few key letters that needed to stay the same, like an A or a T or something like that, to just give some anchoring. And then we invented a new language. And so when we had to express something, if we needed to use words, even like hello, we had to learn how to say the new language. So that's just like traveling to another country, right? Mm. You have to learn a new language. But this puts a certain lightness to it, because what I feel like is important with the arrival is that the layers are, oh, I'm traveling to a new land and I need to learn a new language. That's kind of simple and enjoyable versus a refugee experience, which is the trauma and the difficulty associated with the leaving and the arriving is so much bigger and deeper.
Do you see that kind of, I guess, refugee experience being the heart of the narrative?
Yeah, I think the heart of it is the refugee migrant experience. So it's expressed a little bit in the three backstories. And I think we really played with the idea that all these people who arrived in this new land had to leave their old land. Mm-hmm. So they were all fleeing some form of oppression. And I think the reason to not be really specific about it is that it just creates a universal experience. Mm-hmm. There's so many different reasons for people to need to flee, but we wanted it to be a sense that what they were fleeing was big and dark and necessary. Mm. So I think it just raised the stakes of the theatrics, really, of that the people who were in this new land, there's a certain welcoming quality to them. As soon as they meet our traveler, they know that he's been through a lot. Mm. But they don't necessarily have to say, I've been through a lot, although they do share their backstory. So we've got the giants, you know, someone came from these huge giants that were vacuuming up all the people, very yes. sort of holocaustic. And then we've got the girl who wasn't allowed any education, who traveled through those series of ladders. Mm. Yeah, the young woman escaping, she wasn't allowed access to education or anything like that. And so, we were, and then the man who escaped from a war-torn place.
Yeah.
So that's expressed in the three backstories, and then that's given some space for people to add their own narrative onto that. These days, what people are fleeing from. And there's more things people are fleeing from than when we made it in 2008. Mm. So you just keep adding to those stories, I think.
I really like what you're talking about there, and this concept and this idea of home, and that in itself is familiar, and we all crave for that essence of home. But when you were creating the work, what was the idea behind what makes something home?
The traveler seems like it starts off very foreign, but then it's through the connections he makes that he starts to build a life for himself, and he makes friends with people and they find a commonality in their backstories. And so then it starts to feel like home. But then he also has this, I mean, Sean Tanner came up with such beautiful images, which was such a joy to find a way to bring to life, like his suitcase. He opens his suitcase and inside is a miniature image of his family. And he keeps even though he's in this new place, he's making friends, he's always thinking about his family back at home. And I think you get that feeling of, which I think is just a common thing for someone who's moved to a new place, of having two homes. You've got your new home, but there's always a pull back to where you've come from. And Sean Tan did that so beautifully, I think. And
yeah, Sean used that beautiful imagery of repeatedly returning to birds. So, you know, birds are incredible migrators. They're phenomenal. And so the imagery that he created that we just used was, you know, the imagery of birds as letters. So that connection of letters going between them. And then the imagery of him seeing birds, meaning he's arrived near the land after a long journey. So that's a really beautiful connector of how things connect across vast distances.
Did you find, while taking inspiration from the book, you worked with a lot of refugee and migrant people to shape the production. Were there specific moments that you took from their stories, or more symbolic idea that ran throughout the production?
I think as a performer, it gave, hearing people's stories just gave us a base, I think, truthful connection to what the stories were, which helped us with our making. It didn't feel it felt more grounded. I don't know if you remember, Joe. I don't remember there being a specific thing that came from those stories, but it was really important to hear real stories. And I think, again, hopefully that feeds through to the audience that we know, you know, what we're talking about. We've done some research and we've connected to it in a way, not just superficially telling a story.
Yeah, we had three people come and tell us their stories. And as Alice said, we were kind of busy making this giant work and doing the business. But each time we met these people, it was an absolute anchor into the enormity of what we were holding in our hands. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't allowed to be frivolous with these moments. You know, there was a lot of joy in the making of this work. There was a really beautiful collaborative spirit. But at the same time, we couldn't be too light. We had to take it seriously. We had a couple of incredible synchronicities where, is it Ahmed Zawi, Ella? We were working in a big shed and he, I can't quite remember his story, but it was very big in the news at that moment, his refugee story. And he walked into the big church hall we were working in, and he was in the news at that time, and we all looked at each other and went, oh my God. And I chased him. You come and talk to us. And he did. He talked to us. It was amazing. And then a woman I know, she just happened to share her story with me about her grandmother, who was a Russian Jew. And she came and talked to us about it. And we all sat in a circle and wept hearing her story, you know. So we were united by hearing these people's stories, very present, but also in their family's history as well. Mm-hmm. And then Francois was the other person, Alan, who came and spoke to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it just meant that, I feel like we all held the show with so much kind of respect, I think, and understood the kind of unlike any other show I've been involved in. I think every person just held that show so closely to their heart and with so much protection, respect, and I think those stories really helped that. It was just, I think, and we had things when we were off stage, we were always the actors were always facing onto the stage, present, like we were on stage. We never went off stage and kind of relaxed. We were always present, always feeding into what was going on stage, always there as an ensemble. So we were never off. We were always kind of standing ready and feeding in. And I think just to keep holding that feeling of holding the story and holding each other. And I think that feeds through. I think that feeds through that energy of that to the audience as well.
Mm. When we remounted the show for Queensland in 2018, we had a very short window of time to remake the show with an almost entirely new cast. So we had 8 actors from Australia and 2 that we brought with us from New Zealand to be the kind of core of the work. And I had to work really, really fast, but then I had to keep pausing and going, oh my God, I have to tell you what this moment means. Mm. And I had to keep stopping and going, this is the moment that he's escaped across the water. And they'd go, oh, I didn't realize. And it was so important to take those pauses. You know, I was so busy teaching choreography and mechanics and lifts and ensemble and la la. I had to go, oh my God, we have to stop. We have to sit down. I have to tell you what this bit has come from. Mm. And we had to essentially re-anchor the work back into the meaning and into the gravitas of it.
Mm. I like that you keep using the word anchor, because the narrative itself has a lot of beautiful moments of light and shade, and you have these beautiful moments with the creatures where you get some humor throughout it, and when they meet the traveler, and there's those beautiful moments of connection. But I like that you keep talking about like anchoring it to the meaning and pulling it back to the importance of it, because I could see that with the work that you do and the way you create it, but also the lack of dialogue, you could easily get lost within that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, with devising, every moment has, like I kind of was saying before, it's gone through this huge process to come to this final image.
Mm.
Like the image of them, say, you know, rowing across the water. You know, we probably made 20 or 30 offers for that moment, and you know, we kind of threw things out and kept, and so every moment has got this huge like history to it as a performer that you know in your body, especially like as a physical performer. You've climbed the ladder and you've done all these different lifts, and we used to, you know, the scene used to have this bit, and you know all that. So it does feel for me, I really am grounded and deeply connected, like with my whole body, to every moment because of the history of what's come before to come to this final simple effective image.
Mm.
So I don't need the language to kind of connect me, because because as a performer with devising, you're making it all yourself, because you know, we'll get a provocation from Julie and we'll have to go off and make an offer and come and perform it, and you know you've come up with all the ideas and done all the trials, and so you really feel connected to what it means, because you kind of made it and you're like, this image means this.
You sweated blood for it.
Yeah, and unlike a script, you know, that you get it, someone else has written, you know, someone else's words that you have to find your way to connect with, your way into that character that someone has come from somebody else. With devising, you know, the arrival, it came from us. So as a performer, it's like you just feel so connected, and it's your work, it's your expression of the ideas and stuff, which is it's my favorite thing as a performer.
On that note of anchoring, when you're not using a lot of language, sometimes a super good tool is to make your performers speak out loud their inner narrative. And that helps with clarity. So speak out loud what you're doing as you go through that journey scene. Tell me what's happening in a very physical and real way, not abstract, not I'm feeling. I'm traveling across this ocean and I've been traveling for a really, really, really long time. Whatever it is, get them to speak it out loud so you know that they're actually doing what you think that they're doing.
Yeah.
In the same world. And that's a really good way to anchor back into the clarity of what's happening. Then take the words away and get them to repeat their action, deeply knowing what's happening inside and what their inner monologue is.
Yeah.
This is really wonderful, especially for teachers, to hear a lot about process and devising and how you create this work, because we have quite a few opportunities for students to engage in different devising techniques, I'd say, and they can really get lost in that process to then create some really great original work. you know, whether it's based on a stimulus or whether it's a completely different work or if it's looking at a text that they can then reframe, I guess. So there's lots of avenues there. And I think you've touched on quite a few of those and it's really quite rich. And I think teachers would really edge different ways in which they can create imagery with mm-hmm. students. Because I know that when we all started watching Paper Sky, it was very imagery based. And now with The Arrival, and I think it's really a unique perspective on performance for our students, and we're very, very, very lucky.
We've had so much to talk about with Red Leaf Theatre with Julie and Ella, so we're going to leave it there for this episode. Stay tuned for part two, where we're going to delve further into the production, into the devising process, to talk a little bit more about the puppetry and other elements of that ensemble work. So if you are thinking about doing this amazing production for the external exam in 2022, make sure you head to their website. We'll put a link in our description of the episode for you. And you can check out The Arrival as well as all of their other works. They've got some really great interviews and information about The Arrival as well. And if you are thinking about the other option, which is Boy Girl Wall, we will have an interview and discussion with Lucas Stivard coming up in the next few weeks, so you can hear all about Boy Girl Wall and hear a little bit about his devising process, how he approached the work, and we unpack that with him in more detail. Bye. Thanks so much for listening.